Again, we're glad to see you back here for the sixth session. Now, the session today is picking up, as I said, that idea of principles for church planting. We've been through a couple of them, pray frequently, and we talked about prayer ministry to a great degree. And then the principle of honing the vision. You know, being able to say in a few words why you exist, and in a very real sense to say, who are you trying to reach? Now, I want to continue that thought by principle number three that I'm going to put in there, and that is develop a launch team. Now, the wording there is pretty deliberate. Develop a launch team. One of the things that I interacted with church planters and read about church planting, studied church planting, is they say don't call it a core group or don't call it a Bible study that's going to turn into a church. But make it very deliberate that this is a launch team. This is a team that's going to be on the front line of this new church effort. When my daughter was part of that church in St. Louis, that Bible study I told you about that was made for college-age kids, and they decided to become a launch team, the challenge was given to them. You know, we're not just going to continue this Bible study and move it into Lafayette Park. We're going to be part of launching a church, and here's what it's going to involve. And they listed how they were going to go about it, the strategy, the target audience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then gave people from the Bible study chance to get off, an off-ramp for them. Why? Because they didn't want just a core group of people that were, some were partly committed to this. They wanted people who were sold out to this idea of launching this team. Now, with that in mind, here is just some wisdom that I've culled from a variety of people about what to look for in the leader. Now, you may be somebody who's part of a venue, or you may be part of a Bible study, and you're talking about becoming a church plant, or maybe you're somebody who's thinking of joining a church plant team. Who should you look for as the pastor or the leader of that? Here's some definitions of that. We need people like you. Like what? Well, if it's the pastor, it should be somebody who has a sense of calling into this ministry. Now, I put Acts 13 up there. That's the story of Barnabas and Saul, the first couple of verses of Acts 13, where Barnabas and Saul are worshiping and fasting with a group of people in Antioch, one of those early extension churches that was made up a lot of Gentiles there rather than just Jews. So they are worshiping and fasting together, and we read that the Spirit said to them, don't know how the Spirit said to them, but the Spirit said to them, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called you, or called them. And then the church then, in a time of fasting and dedication, sent them off, gave them resources, but sent them off, knowing that this was a calling from God. Now, the leader of a church plant, I believe, has to have that sense of this is a calling from God for me to be engaged in this endeavor at this time in this place. That's vital because he's going to need that. He's going to get tired. He or she is going to get tired. They're going to question at various times what they're doing because it's a spiritual warfare exists in an intensified way in church plants. And so that sense of calling will carry that church leader. Secondly, their spiritual gifts should be in the area of leadership, at least one of their spiritual gifts. Now, if you're familiar with the story, you can look that up, and there'll be other courses about that. I think there's even a short course coming on soon about spiritual giftedness. But there are a variety of spiritual gifts. Is that person gifted in leadership? The spiritual gift of leadership is the capacity to look ahead and see where God is leading a group. And then being able to communicate it in such a way that the group will go that direction. Now, that is different from the gift of administration. When I went into ministry, I had no idea about spiritual gifts. I had to learn that along the way. And I found that I was gifted in spiritual gift of leadership, but I did not have a spiritual gift of administration. The gift of leadership could say, here's where we got to go. The gift of administration says, well, here's how we got to get there. All right, here are the details, and there are people who handle details extremely well. The church planter should be gifted in leadership. That person, he or she, should be biblically qualified. In other words, if you look at the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, there are qualifications there for the office of elder, or, you know, sometimes called the overseer. This person should meet those qualifications. Should be qualified in character. They should have knowledge. They should have character. Now, character is defined what you do when no one's looking. You know, that it is, there is an integrity in you, that your words and your actions fit with each other. You know, there are all kinds of stories about disaster where churches begin, and turns out that the pastor has a character flaw, and then that flaw becomes magnified within the pressure setting of a new church development, and there is, something goes wrong, either in money or in relationships with the opposite sex or whatever. Something goes wrong and the church folds. And then qualified and knowledgeable in skills. This person has thought about, has read about, has studied what it means to be a leader in a church. And so those are some of the general kinds of things of calling. Now, here are some descriptions of what that means. This should be a person of vision. Man or woman, a person, a vision, should be a humble person. In other words, somebody who recognizes that it's not going to be them and their giftedness that create the success in this church. It's God. It's somebody who's going to give credit to the group, not just to themselves. It's someone who's not afraid of hard work. One of the people that I used to read quite frequently is a man named Stephen Brown. He's a professor at Reformed Theological Seminary. He was in ministry years before he came to know Jesus Christ. He chose ministry, he said, because it was an easy profession to be lazy in. He said, you got to talk for about 20 minutes on Sunday morning, put a worship service together. He said, I could talk good. In fact, he'd been a radio announcer and radio personality before going into ministry. He said, I didn't want to work hard. And so he came to know Jesus Christ. He ended up going to another church, and you know, God used him mightily there as he learned to be inspired to do hard work. The leader of this group has to be a person who is not a quitter, not easily discouraged. There are going to be things that go wrong. There are going to be challenges along the way. But this is somebody who's going to tough it out, not a quitter. A person of courage and determination. Now, the word courage, you know, to encourage one means to breathe courage into them. And courage is the ability to have heart. In other words, he's a strong-hearted person, not somebody who quickly turns away from other people because of their own issues, etc. And a determination to do the work. A personality that gathers people. Now, there are some people who just push folks away. I remember talking to one church, and the church planter, the church survived somehow, but it wasn't because of the church planter. He just had a personality that divided people. And as a result, the church would grow to a certain size, and then, you know, people would start leaving because he had offended them. A self-motivated person, a self-starter, a spiritual person, in other words, someone who looks at life from a spiritual perspective, and a person of prayer. So that's for the leader. And so if you're thinking about being a church planter, you know, stack yourself up against this. Now, if you find yourself falling short in one of these areas that we've just talked about, you know, that doesn't mean you are totally disqualified. It means that you've got to get with a mentor, an accountability person. You've got to get with somebody and talk about your goals, about the person you want to become, because you have this dream of planting a church. And then let the Spirit work in your life. Now, having said that, what kind of people do you look for to be part of the church launch team? Well, here's a small list. A genuine love and respect for the team pastor. This is very important. In other words, there's got to be a sense of loyalty to you if you're the church planter, If you're part of the team, you have love and respect for the leader of your team. Now, why is this very important? Because there's got to be a unity of purpose and direction in this team. And if there's somebody who's kind of vying for the lead position, it can be catastrophic for that new church development. There's got to be a strong loyalty to the team leader, and the new church. The people who become part of this church planting effort should be people who have servants' hearts. In other words, they're willing to take, inconsequential roles within the church. I remember meeting one man once. Somebody who was an executive in a pretty large corporation, and he and a bank president and a pediatrician were mopping floors, getting ready for Sunday worship. Those kind of people you want on your church plant team. Some, not necessarily all, will be strongly evangelistic. In other words, they have a heart to reach people for Jesus Christ, and they have that as their spiritual gift. Now, not everybody needs to have this, but you've got to have some who are going to have this passion for telling people about Jesus Christ. And they've got to be faithful. They show up for meetings. They've got to be submitted. They've got to have integrity. If people within the community know them as people who aren't people of integrity, others will not come, spiritual and prayerful, with a good knowledge of God's Word. These are people who are going to be responsible for leading the small groups that are started. These are going to be people who are responsible for discipling new Christians. And so they've got to be these kind of people, and they've got to be willing to work. Again, church planting is hard work. Wow. You may look at that and say, that's a list. And I don't know anybody who comes up with that list, meets every criteria, every part of that list. But the reality is, church planting is work. It's spiritual work. It's a work that engages you in spiritual warfare. It's a work that will give you great rewards. As I said, those people that I know who are part of church plants will always look back at that time with warmth and excitement because they saw God at work. But it takes the right kind of people in order to make the church plant work. And so as you are thinking about planting a church, or you're thinking about being part of a launch team, or you're thinking about being part of a leadership in a venue that's turning into a church, or maybe you're thinking about parachuting into a church, into an area and becoming a church planter, these are the kind of things you should be looking at and praying about and asking God, with your people of accountability, that God would continue to work on you to make you the kind of person He wants you to be. So next time, we're going to continue this study of church planting, and we're going to look at the very important issue of money for church planting. So we'll see you next time.